Thank you for listening to you, me, them, everybody. Did you also know that? In addition to you, me, them, everybody, we also produce You, Me, Them, Everybody Presents every Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, 2319 West Belmont, 21 and up, and full lineup at youmethemeverybody.com.
Yeah, the mics are all on.
It's in the fridge. It's fresh limeade. I made it like
you
2 days
ago. You
made
fresh limeade? Would you? I got to get some of that.
It's
I'm
in the
sorry.
Fridge.
It's hour five of Sabado Gigante.
Yeah, I would love a limeade.
And the delightful Thank Renee so Schultz is fetching limeade for our guests right now.
I was keeping limeade, apparently, from everybody.
Who's on mic right now?
My name is Michael Sanchez.
And filling in for Mike Leibowitz, this is Joe Quazala.
Joe, could you try to act more like Mike Leibowitz, please?
With my dick!
There it is.
Yay!
It's Leibowitz, you guys.
No, it's Leibowitz.
So, stop being racist.
No, it's V.
Keep talking.
Isn't it? It is. I try so hard to say Leibowitz.
Well, these two both said Leibowitz.
Oh.
Well, the thing is, in German, you would pronounce the V as a W and the W as a V, so how do you ever know?
But is it German?
All right. You got a good point.
It's German Jew.
German Jew?
Is it? I don't
it's
know.
It's a German Jew. Leibowitz,
I don't
yeah,
see
very
people as their
though.
Last names.
Because you can't see last names unless they're tattoos, and a lot of Jews don't have tattoos of their last names.
Do you interview?
Names.
Are we doing a half hour?
Doing an hour or 45 minutes, roughly.
Wow. All right.
What does that mean? Wow. Why are you?
No,
shocked?
I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah. What did you think it
we
was?
Can spell it.
I mean, if I'd known,
I'm back. We're both back for.
You're both back for a return.
Yeah, bringing it home.
I'm just kidding.
Do you want me to read Mike Leibowitz's email to me?
Oh, he's not coming at all?
No, he's coming.
Okay.
He's coming.
Later?
He's late. He's
Brandon,
late.
I'm going to be a few minutes late because my wife is a stupid, inconsiderate bitch. I
oh,
hope
geez.
You're running behind schedule. I love you. Joe, as Mike's representative, what do you think he means by that?
She's a bitch. My dick.
Why is Mike Leibowitz so awesome? Panel.
His mustache. It really is. And that
what,
hair.
I've thought about this a lot.
Yeah.
And let me say, Mike Lebo is one of my very good friends.
Yeah.
I consider him a very close friend.
He probably rolls a lot of his own joints.
He is.
Call back.
He probably does. He is, without a doubt, just an all-around good guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I agree with that.
I agreed.
Just an all-around good guy.
Does he have any enemies?
Well, I think everybody does.
I don't think Mike Leibowitz does.
Leibowitz or Leibowitz?
Both.
Those are two different
The lawyer or the comic?
Maybe. Yeah. No, I think everybody has somebody that hates them. Sure.
You have a lot of people that hate you. Let's talk about one of them. Name one of them.
Drew Michael.
Why does Drew Michael hate you?
I have no idea.
Is that that's not truthful, is it?
I feel like he's... Honestly, I feel like he's had it out for me since the beginning.
Why?
What has he done?
No. Here's the thing.
I don't believe that.
No. In all honesty.
I kind of do believe
no,
that.
No. In
He's
all
such
honesty,
a sweet little boy.
What it comes down to is this. Is like, I have a very short attention span. Mm-hmm. So, therefore, I can only dedicate so much time to stand-up comedy. The rest of my time gets dedicated to making films and making music. And I think that bothers him. And he...
Limeade's here.
I mean, he takes comedy very seriously.
He does take comedy very seriously.
Thank you so much, Renee. And
this is delicious.
And I think that... I feel like he would rather me quit comedy or quit one of the other two things that I do and just...
Does he think the show suffers because of that? The
yes.
show being Community, you should know. That's
like
oh, for sure,
popsicle.
For sure.
That's how good it
should
is.
Should I be talking about? Maybe I shouldn't be talking about. Is this dirty laundry?
No, absolutely not. This is the Community You Should Know hour, and that's it was supposed to be you and Lebo, and I wanted
is
to
it?
Talk about.
Yes.
Medic.
This is delicious.
Perfect, Joe.
Oh, my God.
This perfect. Is amazing.
It's good. Oh.
Stop making such great. Delicious treats
well,
that
thanks.
It's distracting everyone on the microphone.
There's actually, is there still popsicles?
There are still pops.
We made a few lime.
I would maybe take the
oh,
rind
perfect
out.
For it.
The
it's
rind is making it a little bit bitter.
The rind?
Yeah, the peel.
I put the peel in.
Filter
is there green stuff in there?
Yeah,
oh, see, that's hers.
Oh, okay.
That's
she
her thing.
Okay.
Added lime to it.
Don't go blaming me.
No. Person off mic.
He's Prince actually going to do philosophy.
Yeah, that's actually that's, most likely going to
he's
happen.
He's a philosopher at heart.
He is a philosopher king. you and Drew are part of the Community You Should Know.
That's right.
How is that going?
It's going well. We have a very good, what do you call it? Like a regular. I feel like we're having a more and more regular audience.
It's a regular sellout. It's every Wednesday night.
Yeah, we've been selling out a lot lately, and we've definitely gotten to a point. I mean, you have to consider the fact that we've been doing it since 08.
Yeah.
But like when we first started, you know, we have our email list, and at the end of the, you know, it leaves space for your email and then where you heard about the show, and it used to just be Metro Mix, Reader, Metro, you know, and now it almost exclusively just says friend.
That's great.
Which is like...
That's awesome. That's what you want.
Yeah, that's an amazing place to be, and we're at a point now where we turn people away a lot.
That's great.
Which is
Were awesome. You one of the guys that started it?
Yeah, it was originally me, Danny... Marty DeRosa,
Junior
Stopka, and Mike Sheehan.
Why did you smile when you said that last name? Why did you smile so brightly?
Just because it was a wonderful time.
It was a wonderful time, wasn't it?
I honestly, the good old days? The
good I loved old days. Having Sheehan in the group. You know, it's always fun to have that lighthearted person, I think, that kind of alleviates... The drudgery of work.
Wow, you sound thrilled about Community You Should Know nowadays, now that the one person that brought you joy is gone.
No, there's been plenty of people who brought me joy.
Name one.
Mike Leibovitz.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
He's not here.
Joe, what do you think about that?
My dick.
There it is. The show has released an album.
Yes, we recorded a live CD in December.
And what happened to that?
I have to say, so it's a live CD. It's unedited from the beginning of the show to the end of the show. It's the six core members. We recorded, you know, just a live show.
Wait, you left out one of the members. Did we go through the current lineup?
The current lineup, well, the lineup as it was on the CD.
Whoa.
Are
there new?
We'll get to that.
It just, you know, it shifts. Like, when people, like, for instance, if I couldn't dedicate enough time, I would move down from a producer status to just, like, a member status or cast member. During the recording, it was me, Michael Sanchez, Danny Callis, Marty DeRosa, Drew Michael, Joe Kilgallen, and Mike Leibovitz.
Okay. Now, how many members are there?
Well, right now there's only three producers.
Are you a producer?
Yes.
You, Drew, and Mike. Are you Drew and Danny?
Oh, no. It's no me, Drew.
This is the Danny. Most boring dissection. Of
it's
a
very boring.
Group.
Anyway, no. What I wanted to say was that the CD. I don't think the CD is like. It's amazing, but it's not amazing in the way that like, oh, we all had fucking killer set. It's not like that. I look at the CD as like this almost like jazz recording. It's like a moment in time.
Yeah.
You know, in Chicago, in a club with these specific comedians.
Yeah.
You listen to it and you're like, I'm here at this show.
But good things came from that.
Yes. What you're obviously pushing me towards is the fact that it hit number one on iTunes.
And that's
comedy.
Awesome.
Why are
you laughing at that, Merle?
Because it's he's like the thing you're pushing me towards.
Yeah. he's steering me like a cattle herder, like a shepherd. What are those? Like a German shepherd. Anyway,
sheepdog. Dogs that round up sheep. You're quite possibly the worst representative of the community.
I pride myself on that.
that's true. That's true. I think your sensibility is the most different from.
Oh, yes, it is.
What do you want? What do you want from me, man?
I don't think that was
like,
an honestly, insult, right?
No, it's when just you different. Yeah.
No, I wasn't. That wasn't towards you, Joe. That was this
was
dude right here.
Thanks,
this quote unquote host.
Oh man, we're putting host in quotes.
No, you know, honestly, man, you go on and on about how you want to do this with the rest of your life. I do not think you're that great of a host.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
Well, no, I think you've got, honestly, in all honesty, I think you've gotten much better.
Thanks.
Like, since the first time you interviewed me, you were, like, stepping all over. Like, you would ask me a question, and I'd start to answer it, and then you'd ask me another question.
But that was a great interview.
You did it so many
I remember, like, that was great.
I love
great.
How you just point to, you just say, see? See, I am good.
Yeah. But it was a funny interview. I think it was more Michael
because
we
you
could make fun
is?
Of him.
You know what it is? Is that I don't know what it takes to have a successful podcast. So you know what? You're probably doing a bang up job. And from my perspective, I'm just like, yeah, that was the shits.
I feel like he's going to murder us at some point. He'll see us on the street and stab us.
That said, listening audience, Brandon Weatherby, like, there's very few people. I can probably count on my one hand the amount of people that I genuinely like in Chicago.
And I am not one of those people.
And you are one of them.
I don't live here anymore.
Well, good point. No, I mean that. When you were here, you were one of the... I don't know why. It's a mystery.
It sure is. But I don't get it.
Whenever I saw this dude, for those of you who haven't met this dude, when you meet him, there's something about him. I don't know what. Like I said, it's mysterious to me, but you want to hug him. Am I right?
No.
Nope.
Shut up.
I don't like touching people, so.
When I see you, I kind of like, oh, hey, look, it's fucking Brandon Weatherby. Come here, dude. And I always want to hug you. I don't know why that is. I just like you. I liked you since the first day I met you.
That's nice.
I'm not gay. I mean, I might be a little bit. I'm maybe
half gay.
I'm maybe 15% gay.
Okay.
That's too much. I'm maybe... I'm maybe 8% gay.
Do you see what happens when I don't ask more questions?
People out themselves.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're doing. I see what you're...
You've talked for like 5 minutes
Trying to be quiet on purpose. Yeah. All right, I'm done.
Because you told me to.
I'm done.
That's not what I wanted either, because now I have to fill time.
Oh, no.
That's going to be a bad thing.
Uh-oh.
Mike's representative, what are your thoughts right now?
My dick.
There it is.
Now you gotta go, my dick!
Dick!
Or is that just you that did that?
No, that's Mike.
That's him, okay.
Michael Sanchez, you don't have a catchphrase. Like,
idiot?
No, I don't.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say idiot, that was Joe.
No, I guess I don't.
Do you wish you had a catchphrase? Hold on, fix that, there you go. The mic cord's getting a little loose for some reason.
Sometimes I do get real jealous that Lebo...
Are you being sincere?
Yeah, sometimes, because that would be cool.
Yeah.
Like, whenever something gets stagnant on stage, just to, like, be like, you know, to, like, have this thing...
Bring it back.
...that people instantly respond to.
Have you tried to think one up?
Honestly, I haven't really.
I don't think
but it's not
right
me.
Approach.
It's not me.
I think it has to happen organically, right?
Yeah, yeah. But even then, like, that's his character. I don't really have a character... In that way.
What? Yeah, we all do.
I mean, you know what? Okay, I did kind of have a catchphrase a while ago. It was, whoops-a-doodle, but it didn't really take.
Oh, maybe not for you.
What?
I'm still working on it, but it was something like that. It was
you
like,
also on a 1950s
It was like, hey, got
sitcom?
Cancer, whoops-a-doodle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was great. Those were great times.
Did you do a movie with that?
Did I what?
That would be a good thing for
whoops-a-doodle
a movie.
Whoops-a-doodle the movie?
Just like a short where there's just things like, oh, I got cancer. Whoops-a-doodle.
Why is it funny when she says it?
Pay me $10 now.
It was actually
what
I'm going to get rich.
This is what she's going to do to you.
That was funny when she said it, and it was never funny when I tried it.
Why do you think you're not funnier then?
I'm not funny.
What's the problem? Why are you a comedian?
I've never claimed to be funny.
That is true.
Do you know why I do stand-up? I'll tell you why. No, man, I fell into this. I fell into stand-up. I moved here to do improv. I moved to Chicago from Seattle to do improv. Didn't know anybody. Didn't have money for classes. I was writing jokes for stand-up in D.C., this good friend of mine. And he started to kind of get successful. And
what's your friend's name?
Brandon Ivy.
Okay.
And he's in Seattle now. He has his own show and stuff. But... yeah, I was like, wow, you know, he's doing really well with these jokes. I wonder if I could do these jokes.
Do you remember one of those jokes?
I still use a lot of them today.
Really?
The heckler routine, I wrote for him.
Okay.
Mayonnaise, I wrote for him.
Those classics that all the listeners at home know what you're referencing.
That's the first time I ever saw you was when you did the heckler thing.
Heckler,
where you stomp on the phone? Is that the thing you're talking about?
No, that's heckler is when I pull out the heckler cards and
that's
read
great.
The responses.
That's great. Yeah. I saw you do something with a fake heckler where you take their phone
and
then you smash on
that's
and then you guys sing a song.
Yeah, I'm really big on audience interaction. Uh-oh.
Joe, do you have any parting words now?
Whoops-a-doodle.
Look who just walked in.
It wasn't my
Whoops-a-doodle.
Dick. It was Mike Leibowitz's dick.
It was?
There we go. Mike Leibowitz is here.
Right. Hey, I don't know what we're talking about. Let's go.
Thanks for breathing life into this thing. Joe, thank you so much. Your partner's been failing.
I'm good. Thanks.
Where are you coming from, buddy?
Well, I was at home. I got one of these wives. I don't know if anybody's got one of these things. They're not so good at the communication, though. I was at home. I was with my son. And my wife said she was getting home at 4:30. I said, no problem. I don't have to be anywhere until 5:45, which she assumes means that she doesn't have to be home until 6.
Got it.
So I don't recommend these wives. I don't recommend them.
So the marriage is working out.
Pretty well.
Good.
Pretty well. We're a year in. We're going strong.
You're a year in with a 9-year-old?
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's a little weird. Got some things mixed up.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
we
grew
had
really quickly in that year.
Yeah, that's right. It's just right. No, it just feels like we've had him for 9 years.
Put a 1-year-old in school. It's a good idea.
He's going to be 9 in August. Yeah.
Wow, man. That's crazy.
Nope, that's how time works. It's not crazy. It's totally normal.
Well, all right. So it's hard to argue with that.
Why are you funnier than Michael Sanchez?
That's a leading question.
We were just talking about why I'm not funny.
Yeah.
Like, I was saying that I wasn't made to do stand-up like some people.
Well, that may be. I think part of it is... No. I mean, I think you have the skills to be a very good stand-up, but I don't think that you devote yourself to it the way that one would have to really be a great stand-up. I think you don't... you have so many other interests. You're a great filmmaker. You're a very good musician. He's got... I don't know if you've ever heard this guy sing.
Oh, he's played the show before.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that.
Great voice, great songwriter. Skilled artist. So you've got all these things that you do, and I'm basically only good at stand-up.
Yeah, it seems like you're trying to... Michael, you're trying to write like as a character or as a persona, and you're trying to write for your voice. Does that make sense? I don't think that's insulting either.
No, and that's probably...
I don't know. I feel like Mike has more of a character than me.
It's an exaggeration.
Because mine fluctuates too much. Like, I'm constantly changing because I don't know what it is yet still. But
Exactly. Like you're playing with new types of things to do, and you're just doing an exaggerated version of yourself, which is what a lot of stand-ups do.
Yeah, I think... I mean, I could tell you how I found what I think my character is.
What's your character?
Well, okay, so I for the first 6 months I was doing stand-up, I was sort of trying to figure that out. Mm-hmm. And then one morning, I'd been out all night drinking, and I went to bed. And you know how sometimes when you've been drinking, you wake up early? Like as soon as the
booze... Oh, yeah.
So I woke up super early. I'd slept like 4 hours. And I was just going around. My mom was there. My girlfriend was there. And I was just fucking hilarious. Like, I was just cracking everybody up. And in that moment, I realized, like, oh, this is my stand-up character. It's not like me when I'm drunk. It's me when I'm still drunk from the night before.
So wait. What were you doing that was funny that
I was
morning?
Just being funny. Like, it was like that filter, that whatever, like, reasonable voice in your head was, like, still
so it's,
passed
so
out
it's,
drunk.
So it's hangover you.
No,
that's
it's before
funny.
The hangover kicks in. Like, I was hungover later, and I was no fun at all. But for those first for that first like hour or so when I was awake, I was still drunk, but I was rested. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
So it's like 4 to 5 drinks in,
a nap
friendly, but like fully energized.
He's had
no,
a
it's
nap.
Like 8 drinks in.
Got it.
4 hour nap.
Nice.
Yeah.
And now you've harnessed that energy.
Yeah, and I don't actively think about it that way anymore. Yeah. But I did for a long time, and now I think it just feels natural, just like whatever you know.
Do you feel like you can't say anything on stage because of that?
What do you mean?
Because you kind of have this character or something like that. You're limited in what you can do, or is it completely freeing?
I don't feel that. I mean, the way that I feel is, like, some people have a specific character and they write for that character.
Yeah.
I sort of just write anything that I think is funny that makes me laugh.
How do you write?
I carry around a notebook.
Okay.
So if I say something that makes people laugh, I'll write it down. Or if I just have an idea that I think is funny, I write it down.
Will you try new stuff on stage?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, yes, but like writing-wise, do you write on stage?
Oh, yeah, I write a lot on stage, actually, yeah. So I'll go up with an idea, but I'm not a great writer. So, yeah, I work out on stage a lot.
Michael Sanchez, how about you?
How do I write?
Yeah.
Very sporadically.
Do you sit down or do you... I don't see you at, like, a lot of open mics or stuff like that.
No, I used to go to a lot of... I mean, when I first started and then I'd have like spurts where I'd go to a lot when I had new material... Mm-hmm. It's weird. I had a steady girlfriend when I started comedy, and I found that the majority of my jokes came directly after sex. Directly. And since I haven't had a steady girlfriend since then, I've had awful writer's block. Like, like it's very sporadic. And so just once
so the
in a
amount
while,
of ejaculate is equal to the
I
amount of jokes you
is.
Have.
You know what I think
you
it
still
is?
Ejaculate
I think,
just as much, right?
I think, oh, definitely. There's this...
Good job.
When the stress... When your brain is, like, unclouded, that post-sex uncloudiness that you have, like, that clarity you have right afterwards when you're not... You know what? Fuck all of you. Fuck you guys. I'm just saying, my mind was clear after sex, and stuff would just come into my brain, and, like, that's when I first wrote the joke about wanting to have sex with a dragon. You know that joke?
Yeah.
Like, I had just got done having sex, and I turned to my girlfriend, and I said, you know, I've never had sex with a black girl or an Asian girl or a dragon. Is that funny? And, you know, and we would just lay in bed and laugh, and, like, that's how I wrote jokes. Now it's very sporadic, and it's weird, too. I was just telling somebody about this in regards to songwriting. Mm-hmm. I believe that songs just exist. Like, they're just floating around us, and... I don't know what it is. I don't know who wrote them. I don't whatever. But like once in a while my brain opens up and a song falls into it and I feel the same way about jokes.
I feel that way about jokes too, man.
They just appear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so once in a while that part of my brain opens up and jokes appear and I'm like, "Whoa, where'd that come from?"
Did you smoke a joint outside?
And I write it down. No, I didn't.
No,
I'm perfectly sober.
I'll back you up on this, Mike. I agree, like people ask me, I just had trouble just now, people ask me, how do you write your jokes? And, sure. Like, I really don't know.
Yeah.
I seem to, but I, like, don't, it's like... It's,
but you're going to open mics, and you guys are on stage every week at least once. And
yeah, but you're not writing in an open mic. You're practicing what you've already written.
Okay.
Yeah, or you're riff, or you'll go up with an idea and riff stuff out,
yeah,
too,
I mean, people riff stuff.
And that's, isn't that, like, a form, foundation of writing?
Yeah, but I feel like the meat, like we're not talking about like the dressing on the food. We're talking about the meat of it. The meat is written before you ever come to an open mic. I mean, you might write at an open mic,
yeah,
but you're not on stage like coming up with like the meat of your material.
How do you guys book the Comedians You Should Know show?
We get together and argue for
hours.
We
put on boxing gloves.
Yeah.
Who is the main guy that brings in people?
We all
suggest. Like we sit down and we're like, oh, you know, so-and-so was really awesome at this show. Mm-hmm. I think he's ready for that. Oh, you know what? I saw so-and-so here. I think she's awesome. Let's put her up soon.
And we have a pretty stringent booking policy where, like, if one person says no and everyone else says yes, we'll book that person. But if two people say no...
That seems completely fair. How is the touring going? Now that the album's been released, you guys have done a handful of weekend gigs and some week... take gigs. Oh, why did I have to clarify? It didn't make any sense or matter. It's around the Midwest, stuff like that. How are those? How are you received in other cities?
I'd say for the most part they've been pretty successful. Yeah. I mean,
they're more fun than they are financially successful.
Yes, yeah, that's what okay.
But some people,
say.
We've had a few shows that were just like fucking awesome. Like we did this one in St. Louis. It was in an art gallery and it was packed. There were like 200 people there.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It was great.
Yeah.
And we had one in Cleveland that was really great too.
Are you finding that your material works regardless of where you're at, or is any of it Chicago-centric where it just they kind of have to know you, or does it matter?
I think it's pretty universal. Like Well,
when you're in a new city, you apply those jokes to that city.
Oh, I know that. I mean, none of you guys are doing like...
I mean, we're not doing Cubs jokes.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if it played everywhere.
You know what? One thing that I've noticed just going around touring in general, mm-hmm. I mean, or not touring, but doing shows in other cities and stuff, is that like... You think all these places are so different?
No, they're all the same.
But, I mean, we all watch the same TV shows.
Oh, yeah.
We all have the same basic
frame
of reference.
Yeah, I'm always surprised, in fact, like, or not surprised, but I'll get to a city and I'll always, like, come to the conclusion, like, man, you know what? These people are smart. These people do get it.
Oh, yeah.
And I always underestimate people, and I know I shouldn't, but I do.
Yeah, it's probably that joint you smoked. He told us earlier that he had his first joint ever.
He rolled his first joint.
I rolled my first joint. It wasn't the first one I'd had.
Yeah, we're all very proud of him.
Yeah, Michael had a little headache the other night, so I broke him off a few nugs. I offered him the use of my bowl. I said, you can borrow my pipe. He's like, no, I've got some papers. I don't know how to roll a joint, but I don't know how to use a pipe either. So what did you do? You Google it or what?
Did you really Google how to roll a joint?
I looked up a how-to video. No.
They have those.
No, I just figured it out. I did. I was surprised that I honestly when I rolled it and then I licked it and then then like sealed it, I was like, "Oh, that was easy."
Yeah.
And then I got high.
Yeah.
It was a pretty crazy
Are
night.
You trying to like cuddle with Mr. Lieber?
Always. All the time.
I'm just getting comfy, man.
Yeah.
We're good buds.
He likes to fidget. Did you know that about Mr. Sanchez? He's a fidgeter.
I do fidget.
That's weird because he always gets mad at me for stroking my mustache.
That's because it's erotic.
How is he to work with as a director? You were the star of Copstash and a bunch of other awesome videos.
I'd say that I had a supporting role in Copstash.
Was the stash the leader?
Right.
The actor? Yeah, the mustache was the
Well,
star.
No, I think that I think probably McAdam had the biggest part in that video. But in any event, I've done a lot of videos with Michael. And
they're very funny.
Thank you very much. He's my favorite video guy to work with. Ever. Like, I've never worked with somebody before where, like, you do these videos, you give up your whole fucking day, it takes 10 hours to shoot this 4-minute thing, and then it never gets edited.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get these things out of it. When Michael and I do something, usually they're pretty basic, you know, so there's not a lot of other people involved. Mm-hmm. But I always just feel so relaxed. I've never felt more comfortable in front of the camera.
It's a really good working relationship. Also, how comfortable are you shirtless?
Oh, I love it.
It's...
And I love seeing him shirtless.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think we've already established that Michael is a bit of a sex pervert.
Oh, yeah.
No, but if I can, like, anything for a laugh.
Of course.
Yeah. Anything.
And I look funny with no shirt on.
And a lot of people, like, here's the thing. Like, because I've been in comedy groups with a lot of, like, guys who were, like, even a little bit overweight who were, like, self-conscious. And I'm like, come on, dude, sacrifice for your art. Like, come on. And one thing I love about Lebo is that he's game for anything. I don't know if you saw the dick video. He's standing in an alley in the middle of winter in his underwear.
Yeah. I like the weather more.
Okay.
That's the one I like the most. I think it's because I think you have a lav, right?
A lavalier
mic. That's why I like it.
Clips to my chest hair.
That's why I like it so much. And I think you're doing the weather, is that?
Yeah, and I'm eating Chex Mix.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was completely improvised too. That one was that took us 10 minutes.
Yeah,
right? we just got in front of the green screen. I'm sure you had a lot of stuff in post.
Well, we had different ideas. We thought t-shirt, no t-shirt. We finally did the no shirt.
Oh, do you know why? Can we tell them why we did no shirt?
I don't remember why.
Because we're in front of you had a blue screen at the time, and I was wearing a blue shirt.
No. But you also had on blue underwear. Remember? Because I made you roll them down a little bit.
Right. No, I was wearing all blue. So I was gonna wear a shirt. But then I was like, well, the shirt's just going to disappear. So I just took it off, and then I was wearing blue underwear, and then we kind of hiked it down a little bit so that it wasn't in the frame.
Yeah.
When we did the dick texting vid, Michael asked me, he said, hey, man, how comfortable would you feel getting an erection in front of me?
No, did I?
Yeah, because you wanted it to actually be my dick in the video.
Oh, I forgot about that. I forgot, yeah.
I was like, dude, can't you find some pictures of dicks? Yeah. But it's actually Michael's dick in the video.
Is it really?
Are we not supposed to say that? Was that a secret?
No, it's my dick. I'm proud of my dick.
Sure. His dick plays the part of the big dick and the little dick, actually. Yeah. A little Photoshop.
Ooh.
Action.
Well, the bigger one's Photoshopped.
Oh.
Yeah.
You could have told him the little one was.
Then he really wouldn't be an artist. Does this show make you guys better comics?
No doubt.
Why?
Because we work really hard to get like a real audience or not our friends. I mean, sometimes our friends.
Oh, yeah.
But in general, they're strangers, and it's sort of we try to make it professional, so it feels like it's a real show that the audiences are really honest with you, and we get give ourselves a lot of stage time because we put in the work.
I think that any comic who's listening, like, I don't think anything improves you more as a comic. Well, okay, and that's not true. I mean, practicing, of course, but having your own room is an amazing tool for getting better.
Yeah.
Like, feeling comfortable in a room, knowing that that's your room, and being able to, like, experiment and do whatever you want. Like, that's really... That's good. That's good for you as a...
You seem to experiment a lot with all these drugs these days.
Yeah.
It's a little bit too much.
It is nice, though, knowing that it's your room and you don't have to worry about getting booked back.
Yeah.
So you can take risks.
Well, can
unless
we talk
Mike Sheehan.
Or Joe Kilgallen.
Yeah.
Well, that's a different story. I mean, he had kind of a...
A meltdown? That was hilarious.
I know.
Bring him back.
He's back.
Oh, is he good?
He's back.
Well, that worked out well.
Wait, what happened?
He had to take a little break. He just had to take a little break. He needed a little time to figure out what he wanted.
He didn't get into Just for Laughs.
Again.
And he took it
out. He has a Just for Laughs meltdown every year.
I think it was more complicated than just for laughs.
I think his anger was justified because a lot of the people that deserve to be in just didn't get in. You guys are all great. You guys should all be
all
in. Exactly.
Leibovitz didn't get in, right?
That's true.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's,
but, you know, I don't get upset about it, but I understand what people do.
Exactly. So
the way I feel like, unless it's undeniable, you know, I might have put together a different lineup, but
yeah.
I have no right to be angry about it.
You have a good attitude. But Joe seemed very upset for a little bit.
I just think people...
He's got a short fuse.
People are looking for a certain style.
I like him.
If you're not that style, then whatever. I mean,
yeah.
You just move on.
I think there is kind of a bias against this sort of macho... kind of like confident.
Well, that
dude.
Was part of the video, and I think it's part of the album. He's like, it's easy to be the best looking one in a group of trolls like this.
I think that's
the line on the album.
Uh-huh.
How has the album affected your stand-up at all, or has it? Now that you have something documented, are you no longer doing those jokes?
I still do them.
I tried to retire that stuff, but it just crept back in.
Yes, like, yeah, I tried to also for a little while, but
it's
then
good
I was
stuff.
Like,
it's like, what's the fucking
These are
point?
My best jokes.
Okay. You know? Would you guys do another one?
If I were to do another one, I would want to do like individual full length albums.
Okay,
yeah, I don't think I would do another one
ever.
I mean, not ever, but just, I mean, I it took me a while to come up with that group of jokes, and it's going to take me a little while to come up with another group of jokes that I feel really good about.
Do you still think you're going to be doing stand up in like 2 years?
Yes.
5 years.
I think that I'll always do stand up, but I'm not counting on that as a career as some people do. I want to move on. I want to make films.
If you had to do one of them, what would you do?
I would make films.
What kind?
All kinds.
Have you done any serious films?
I've done some semi. I mean, the comedy is going to come through in everything that I do. So even though I have had a few films that had dramatic parts to them, there was still comedy. Like, I wouldn't ever say, oh, yeah, I've done this drama and this drama. But, yeah, a goal of mine probably in the next year or so is to get some dramatic pieces under my belt.
And you want to do some longer stuff, too, right?
Yeah, I want to. I mean, I've been working on this stupid feature film for a while.
The Nice Story? Was it Nice Guy? Or
The Return of Great Guy.
Yeah,
it's a superhero film. I shot it in Seattle in 2006, and I'm still editing.
But you're not really editing, are you?
Very slowly and sporadically.
What did you shoot it on? Why is this taking so long?
I had a hard drive die. It's a whole other interview, man. But yeah, this year
I want to get some other things under my belt.
You know what? If I go up again, then maybe we'll talk about it.
Oh, great.
If we get any more cancellations, we'll cover this.
How long have you been on this show?
No, this is only a second appearance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, somebody else didn't show or something.
Mike didn't show.
Yeah.
Mike who?
David.
Mike David.
Oh. Did Kyle show?
No. I dealt with Kyle, though, so I don't know what happened.
Well, you know, I wish I'd known that was going to happen because I wish we'd taken their time slot.
I know.
Although
Sorry.
I never would have made that.
No, so you're screwed no matter what. You're going to the bachelor party tonight, too?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. All right. That's going to be fun, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I forgot that these things were on the same day.
All right, it's the camping one in Zion?
Yeah.
And you're going too, Joe?
I think so.
Jesus Christ. How do you not know you're going to a fucking bachelor party or not?
You have to pack for these things, you know.
What do we have to pack?
Dude, you're going to the wilderness. Just brush
your teeth. Yeah, just wear some shorts and hang out in the wilderness all night.
Have you guys ever been to a campground?
Yeah.
They're not in the wilderness.
They're
trailer parks.
You need...
They're temporary.
A tent and something to sleep on. And
I'll sleep in my car.
Things.
See, this guy's really roughing it.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sleeping in a tent. They always get wet in the morning.
Hey.
There's other people coming in.
Yeah.
Hey, Brandon, can I ask you something?
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, let's interview you, bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
Please.
Sorry.
So you were a staple here. You're still around. You're in D.C. now. How are things going?
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll give you a Michael Sanchez answer. So there's these sheep, right? And I gotta like figure out how to round them, and I'm a dog. So there's a name for that, but it's also
you're dumb. You're dumb.
No, it's going okay. It's going
dumb,
okay.
Dumb man.
But the DC shows are going really well because there's nothing else there.
Yeah.
That's how it is. I had a guy on the show that knows you. I think I told you this in passing. Tim Young.
Oh, right.
Yeah. What are your please tell me about this Tim Young
character.
Wait,
that sounds ominous.
You don't know about him. No. Just say on mic, you know him or you don't know him?
I'm sure that I do, but the, you know, Tim Young, I don't know, I'm going to need a, I don't know who that is.
Okay, perfect. I thought this much because he emailed me out of the blue to do the show. He's like, I'm a Baltimore comedian, I'm friends with Mike Leibowitz. I've opened for Patton Oswalt. I go, okay, fine. I look into him, I see his bit. He technically opened for Patton Oswalt. He was the guy that bought the Comedy Death Ray bid, where if you bid enough money, you get to open for Patton Oswalt at Comedy Death Ray. So he did that. So technically, yes, he opened for Patton Oswalt.
Sure.
And so I ask him, he's like, yeah, I'm friends with Mike Leibowitz. He inspired me to do something like Comedians You Should Know in Baltimore. And that's when I asked you, like, do you know this guy? No. He's trying to steal the, like, we're number one on iTunes format of doing a successful show. And he's got something called, like, Comedians That Are Very Funny or Good or something like that. And the main guy has been opening for the past years for Patti LaBelle on tour, so it's going to be a fantastic show. And he's like essentially selling the show to all these like middling podunk towns near DC and Baltimore as like a professional and show. He did my show and he did really sexist humor.
Okay.
For about 8 minutes, and my first question was, "You're single, right?" He goes, "Yeah." I go, "Perfect. That's the point." And just tore him a new asshole for 10 minutes, and he kept blaming the crowd that it's a hipster room. And it was a fun experience. So now I talk shit about Tim Young from Baltimore. He's my favorite.
Tim Young.
Like, I've never...
You got to, you know, if you're using as your references in the same sentence Mike Leibowitz and Patton Oswalt, you're reaching.
Did you read that interview Lebo did in the Detroit Comedy Blog? I'm like, yeah, okay. This is going to be a fun night.
Well, no, I feel bad. I mean, this guy likes me.
He's a piece of shit. He's trying to use your name.
Okay.
Yeah, fuck them. No, like he just blatantly trying to use you to people that he knew was from Chicago.
Okay, yeah.
It didn't seem like someone that would be your friend.
Well, anyway, Tim, if you're listening.
Don't
blame the crowd. It's never their fault.
And I told him that on mic. He goes,
The show's for them. They're not there to laugh at you. You're there to make them laugh.
I know.
So if people aren't laughing, it's on you. You fucked up.
Of course.
I said during the interview, I'm like, did you notice how I'm getting a lot of laughs during this interview? And the crowd laughed because that was funny. He blamed the room for being a hipster room. It can't be a hipster room if 70% of the crowd are African Americans there for wing night. So. That's not a hipster crowd. That's a wing night crowd.
Well, even
like, that's what that crowd is. That's a crowd that didn't know there was a show, and if they chose to laugh, they're laughing. That's not a hipster crowd.
Sure.
He's like, oh, I did a bit about Walmart. That's why they didn't laugh. I go, no, that's not true. Hipsters hate Walmart. Just say it sucks, and already they're on your side.
Right. You did a bit about Walmart. That's why you're a fucking boring
exactly.
hack.
And that's why I only book people that open for Patton Oswalt on my DC shows. It's going great. But Megan Gailey actually was there a few weeks ago. Oh. Fucking murdered.
She's getting real good.
Oh my
man. She's,
god.
Yeah.
I'm a big Megan Gailey fan, and it kind of like justify all the like hype I've been like telling all these DC comedians like how good it is here and how not good it is there.
Yeah.
And she just completely justified it. So that was really nice. Started an open mic in a week. So that
you are?
Yeah.
Really?
So now I don't have to go and see other open mics, so that's good.
Cool. Wait, you run an open mic?
Yeah.
And it's a weekly in the same
It's the same place. It's the first and last Tuesday, just so I don't have to go out and book as much, like okay. See other shitty comics. It's a very, very small scene.
One cool thing about your the format of your show is like if you're the stand-up on the show or one of the stand-ups, I don't know how many you usually
have. We have one usually, but we're trying to do more.
Yeah, is like you go up and you do a set. And then you sit down and talk about the set that you just did in front of the audience that just saw the set.
Yeah.
It's a very surreal experience.
It is. Like CJ, Joe's former co-host, did the show in New York, and he followed Wyatt Cenac as the guest. And he's like, I don't want to do stand-up now. So instead, Wyatt was kind enough to come back on stage and like co-interview CJ with me, which was a total prima donna move that I'm like kicking myself for not thinking of myself. So these comics don't know how to act. Like the first question is usually like, should I sit down or should I do the stand-up? And like, even though we've talked about this via email and in person an hour before, they still don't know what to do. And it's weird. You guys have done it. It's got to be weird having someone like 5 feet behind you to your right.
No, like, I remember the one I did the one at the Hungry Brain, And I felt the need to direct some of it to you guys.
Yeah.
Because, like, you're part of the audience, so you just happen to be on stage.
It didn't feel weird to me. It felt kind of like what I imagined it would feel like on, like, Letterman or Leno or whatever. Oh.
And it's good because we don't... I've never booked anyone intentionally bad. Does that make sense? Like, mm-hmm. I didn't want Tim Young to suck. I wanted him to do really well and for everyone to like him. But...
Did you watch any of his video before booking?
Yeah, it was totally not bad. Very, like, mainstream. He kind of wanted to be like Leno in the mid-80s. Like,
Which is awful.
No,
is,
it wasn't. It wasn't awful.
Well, you think that because you're a hipster.
Yeah, it wasn't awful.
I just watch Leno now, funny, and I'm like, really? This was funny?
No. But what he does now is different. It had some semblance of jokes that were... Anyways.
He had a very good reputation at the time. Anyway, yeah. I know that.
It's... He wasn't awful. He wasn't amazing.
He was like the hardest working man in showbiz. That was his thing.
Yeah, but it doesn't make him funny.
He was cool with the game.
I know plenty of people who work hard, but when I watch them, I do not laugh. It doesn't make me a hipster.
If that was a joke. If I had to book...
Well, fuck you, dude. You're dead to me.
Every interview.
This is how this great relationship ends.
Every time we've talked to Michael, he's yelled, fuck you at someone
I'm
here.
Just kidding.
If I was able to book...
Yeah, that's my catchphrase. Fuck you, dude.
Your catchphrase is, you're dead to me.
My other catchphrase is, get your fucking coat, we're leaving.
Yeah, get your coat, we're leaving.
I like that one.
That's probably why the microphone's
You should bring
so
in, I will turn this car around. You should throw that one in there.
I feel like there's some...
Yo, no, fix the mic. There you go.
That you do when you have kids in the car.
Right.
And get your coat you only do when you have a girlfriend or a wife.
Or a cat.
Yeah, it's funnier. He's funnier than you.
Dude, fuck you, dude.
There it is. You guys, you probably do realize it, how good the talent pool is here.
It's the best.
I don't have to worry about...
It's not like anywhere else. This is it, man.
I don't know if you're being sarcastic.
Well, I think in a place like L.A. or New York, there are more people who are good, but as a proportion of the total.
Yeah, exactly.
In New York, there are a lot of people who are good. In L.A., you got a lot of actors and stuff who their agents are like, you should do comedy.
So yeah. No, the New York shows are good, but they don't bring anyone, regardless of the guests. Mm-hmm. It's all dependent on how people feel in the bar that night. So,
yeah.
Unlike the Chicago guests where they're all good. I don't have to worry about that. In D.C., if I only booked people that I know are funny, I would have like 3 guests a year.
And you're doing 2 shows a month. You need at least...
I'm doing 2 to 4.
24 comics a year.
Yeah, it's not... I'm running out of people, man. I'm going to like Baltimore now. It's bad.
They got a couple clubs in Baltimore, right? They have improv.
The D.C. improv is actually very good in terms of their booking. And there's the Arlington Draft House, but... Once again, those are all people that are touring. And they'll get a lot more touring acts than Chicago because it's close to D.C. and it's close to New York. But it's a week. It's shitty. Don't. Music's okay. The guests are very good because people know them. And there's more than like... There's more like cultural celebrities than there are in Chicago. But whatever. It's a place.
Did you ever check out that 8x10 in Baltimore?
Yeah, I'm checking that out in a month or two. I'm hopefully starting that soon, but I don't want to get divorced before I get married, so I'm like trying to take it slower than I was. So
I don't understand.
I don't want to piss off my fiance even more than she already
is. Oh, you mean literally?
Yes,
okay,
that's literally what I mean. I
thought that was like an expression I didn't know.
That'd be a really bad one. It obviously didn't make sense to you, so I won't use it. But yeah, I need to actually slow down and focus on not having shit shows and just make the, like you guys are doing, making sure every show we have is full and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's, we always have these talks about expanding, starting other rooms, adding another night, and usually the consensus we come to is like, let's just
wait.
When this
longer.
One is sold out every fucking night. Then
I know. I need to learn from that, but if we didn't do 2 shows a month now when I'm visiting, I couldn't pay for the plane ticket. So I kind of have to do the Whistler night and the Brain night now. So that's what that is. And
you do a night at the Whistler?
We're there tomorrow night, yeah.
Oh,
see,
shit.
Like all that promotion is really paying off.
Well, what time is it? Maybe I'll come by.
9. We start at 9.
You need better lights in there.
I love the Whistler, man.
I do too. That's a hard room, though. Prescott had a fucking hard time in April because that crowd doesn't shut the fuck up. And he was able to control them, but there was this table of 5 people that were there for the show and talked throughout the entire show.
Yeah.
And they were there for the show. They weren't just there. That's what I don't
That's
get.
Crazy.
You were there.
Yeah, yeah.
But Prescott did a great job, but it took him like 3 minutes to be like, all right, I'm not doing that set, doing this set.
Yeah,
and by the end of it, he killed. But you're not comfortable there yet, are you?
No. Well, it's the crowd.
Yeah. It's bad lights, though. There's just red
it's
lights
really
in there.
Dim. They it's don't, all red and blue.
You bring a painter's light.
Get some lights. Seriously.
Seriously, you can buy one for like $5.
You're right. You're
just
right.
Just clip it on. And
I have some
like
in my house you can have.
I'm going to bring a flashlight.
We'll just do all the flashlights. We got to get Bottle and Stone Battalion in here. Where are they? Are they in the other room?
Go. Someone just yell Bottle and Stone. Just yell that.
Just yell
Bottle and Stone Battalion.
Is this live, by the way?
Or
is it?
Yeah, we're streaming it, but it's also going to be recorded. I'm
Bottle and Stone, just yell that and tell them to come
this
way.
It's
going to
just be for the podcast, really. But yeah, it's streaming. Yeah. Oh, man. I'm glad you were able to show up, man.
Yeah, I'm real sorry I was late.
Fine.
It's these wives.
Oh, really quick. Does anyone... do you have any enemies? Does anybody not like you? Honestly. I'm not asking for names, but is there one person in this city that you know is just like, fuck that guy?
I'm sure there are,
but
I
you can't think of one, yeah, can you? Nope.
Well, not like openly. I'm sure there are people
no,
who,
you're the
who,
night,
are, like, who
not,
are like, oh, yeah, I'm open. My dick. All right, fuck that
I've
guy.
Never I'm heard sure. one comic say one bad word about you.
Oh, well, that's very nice.
I know. You're like the nicest fucking guy in the world.
Hey, thanks, man.
Michael Sanchez, you have lots of enemies. You've earned them all. Now's the time you say I'm getting my coat and leaving.
Man, fuck you, dude.
There it is. Plug. Comedians You Should Know every single Wednesday at Timothy O'Toole's.
Yeah, comediansyoushouldknow.com for tickets and info.
And you could buy the album. Do you want them to buy the physical copy or the iTunes copy?
Either one, doesn't matter. You can get both on the website.
I highly recommend it. I play it to all my friends in D.C.
Thanks, man. Yeah, the nice thing about actually doing a CD with six other people is that every time you buy one, I get about a nickel.
That's so nice. Well, you have a son. Let's make him rich.
Yeah.
Thank you guys doing this.
All right, thanks a lot,
It's
Brandon.
Weird because we don't have musical transition because we have actual live entertainment, so.
Sure.
Sorry. Now, this is the weird, awkward transition.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, in your earphones very soon, or speakers, I wonder how many people listen in their car. The Bottle and Stone Battalion, everybody.
Mind as a child, when a hungry man goes out to beg, people sing a bulldog behind. Like policemen, we chuck him down too. You see where a dog is better than you. People do not care if he has Coco Bay. If a man have money today, people do not care if he has Coco Bay. We'll go and make murder and get off scot-free. Live in the governor's company. But if you're poor, the people tell you shoo, and that the dog is better than you.
Chicago.
Thank you.
think they heard us whisper. Shoot.
We are Bottle and Stone Battalion. We got one more for you guys. This song is called Tina.
Oh, yeah. It is.
We
got the little percussion kit over there.
Feel free to play along if you guys know this one.
For all of you with shakers at home, please feel free to shake a shaker or hit a pie tin.
Are we in tune? Yeah. Let's just go with yeah.
Yeah, a little quattro is probably. I'm just going to go with it.
Good enough for Calypso, man.
Let's see what Tina has to say about it.
Calypso is out of tune today.
Hit it, boys.
Somewhere on July 29th.
Fantastic. Website?
Bottleandstone.com.
Fantastic.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having
us.
Thank you, guys. Follow us on Twitter at YMTE. Friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/youmethemeverybody. And for details on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, go to youmethemeverybody.com.